Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles today, turn to Matthew's Gospel, the sixth chapter. We're back in this book talking about the kingdom. Matthew's Gospel is all about the kingdom that the Lord has created. Sometimes in the Word it's called the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's called the kingdom of our Lord. Sometimes it is called the kingdom of heaven. But it's always the kingdom. When you and I accept new birth, give our hearts to the Lord Jesus, have that change in our lives, become a new creation in Him, how many have experienced that new birth? Praise the Lord. Come on. You know, think of the alternative. Huh? One of these days, the kingdom of our Lord that is here still on this earth is going to rise into His presence and go and be with Him in heaven. But you see, He's giving us good gifts right now. But we have an incredible inheritance that is awaiting us. Did you realize that? God has incredible things for people who love Him and serve Him. Okay. John Milton, the English poet, wrote in his poem called The Lives of Poets, he said, to be of no church is dangerous. To be of no church is dangerous religion, of which the rewards are distant, which is animated only by faith and hope, which will glide by degrees out of the mind unless it be invigorated and reimpressed by external ordinances or by stated calls to worship and the salutary influence of an example. Now, that is the long way of saying spiritually we need repetition in our lives. We need to be reminded constantly of things that we already know. I'm going to tell you some things today you already know. But it is important for us to rehearse those things that we already know to keep them before us so we don't lose them. How many will agree? Amen. In Matthew's Gospel, we have a very clear picture of Jesus' teachings on the kingdom of God. Here in chapter 6, there is a prevailing theme that is tucked in throughout this chapter that overshadows all the teaching that the Lord gives. I want to help you as much as I can to engraft the Word of the Lord. I do. I don't want to just preach to you. I want to try to engraft it. You know what it means, engraft. How many have ever seen a graft on a tree where somebody grafted in a branch or something? Have you seen that? It's powerful. I had a man in my church up in Michigan who specialized in classes came out to his farm to view what he had done, because he would take an oak tree. He had oak trees and maple trees all out in his front yard of his house, and he grafted into that fruit of different kinds. So here's an oak tree, but here's a branch sticking out of it of apples, and here's one of peaches coming out. the man had the gift. He had this poultice thing that he used, and he put on there, and classes from Purdue University would come out and look because it was unbelievable. They had us to their home for dinner one time, and he took me around and showed me all of these elm apple trees. And true enough, here's an apple growing right on a branch of an elm tree, engrafted. I'm believing that some of you nuts, I mean some of you, we could actually engraft a branch of, some things just slip out, you know, it's a Freudian slip. That we could actually engraft the Word of God into your lives. You realize the Apostle Paul says that we Gentiles were grafted in to the branch of God's blessing. Israel was His chosen people, but we Gentiles have been grafted in to that tree of blessing. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I have a little something here this morning to help you to remember the truth that I'm going to bring out of the Word. Okay? How many of you like chocolate? Anybody? Oh, some of you don't even like chocolate? Oh, I feel sorry for you. All right. I need some helpers. I need three helpers. One, two, three. All right.
Oh, my.
Let me take one. Give one of those to everybody. Okay. What you're going to get this morning is some chocolate. Oh, she started in the back. Okay, here we go. I can't figure out how she get back there so fast. I thought, man, that's some serious moving. Have you ever seen one of these before? This is called a Tootsie Roll Pop. And in the center, there's chocolate. But to get to that chocolate, you have to be patient. Now, here's the rule in here. Feel free to eat this, but no crunching. You have to be patient to get to the chocolate this morning, just one lick at a time. You know, here's what I started to do. I was going to say, if you will all be honest with this and put it in your mouth, the first person that lifts up their hand that they have reached the chocolate will end my message. Now, I was going to say that. Here's the fact, and I'll show you how it plays out here in the Word. The rewards of the Lord are delayed. Let me say it again. The rewards of the Lord are delayed. Now what's incredible, as His children, He has promised to give us good gifts. Everybody say that, good gifts. We have been promised good gifts in the presence of the Lord. But the rewards for our life in Him are promised when we're in His presence. They have been bought and paid for. We have the glorious opportunity to live with His presence inside of us. And again, that means that He gives us gifts along the way. But the reward is promised at the end. Okay, I'm going to ask one more time. Say, the reward is at the end. Just like the chocolate is at the end of this little Tootsie Roll Pop. I can see some of you are working your way already. I can see hands starting to jump up, you know. I reached the chocolate, shut up. So let me get moving. first thing that I want to point out to you is this. Beware of the desire for doing your acts of righteousness for men. Listen to how this plays out. Verse number 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your heavenly Father. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, understand this. This goes to motive. I have seen people, church people, good church people, take this and go crazy with it. They don't want to give in the offering plate because somebody might see them give. They bring their monies in a plain envelope. They will not fill out a report so that any track could be taken of it because they don't want anybody to know what they're giving. This goes, Jesus' teaching about the kingdom goes to motive. Motive is something as a need or desire that causes a person to act. What causes you to give is the real factor here. What motive do you have for giving? Is it so that other people can see you? Or is it so that the Lord can see you? There's an interesting question that you can ask every time that you give. Why am I doing this? Why am I giving? Is it so someone else can be pleased? Or am I giving as unto the Lord? You know, you can often tell those that give out of other motives rather than just giving to the Lord, because they always tie a string to it. In other words, I don't want my money going for that. Did my money go for those Tootsie Roll Pops? I don't want to spend money on Tootsie Roll Pops. Did my tithe go to that? No, Pastor bought them. I bought you a Tootsie Roll today. You like those? Pretty good. Something to sweeten you people up. Especially this section right in here. They're missing their balcony seats. He calls these acts of righteousness. And he will repeat this now throughout here. He says of doing your acts of righteousness. These things that are prompted by spiritual, should be prompted by spiritual motivation. But sometimes we get messed up on this, where we get motivated by, let me give in that special offering so I can hold it up and everybody can see me. So are we giving to the Lord, or are we giving so that we can be seen? There are three things here in this chapter. First of all, it's giving to the poor that I just read. When you give to the needy. I like that he says, when you give to the needy, not if you give to the needy. When you give to the needy. Do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogue. I like that. Give to the poor. How many have ever seen somebody, I mean, maybe not with a trumpet, but they gave and they wanted everybody to know that they gave. You ever witnessed that? No. I have. He gives the motive. He says the motive there is to be honored by men. And we got to think about that for just a minute, because see, that goes beyond just the giving to the needy or giving of alms. That goes to a lot of different things that we give. That can go to why we're serving the Lord. I'm not going to hurt our people. I love their singing. But are they up here to give glory to the Lord? or are they up here to get the honor of men? Huh? Now, the Lord Jesus says, both will be rewarded. Those that are out for the honor of men, they'll receive their accolades. Yay, you did a great job. Oh, you're so good. But he says, don't look for a reward in heaven. Because, honey, you just crunched right through that Tootsie Roll Pop, got right down to the chocolate, and cheated. Reward is coming. You can get your reward from men, or you can get it from the Lord. He goes on, he says in verse number 5, he says, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, do not be like the, what? Hypocrites. For they love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men. Motive. To be seen by men. Why would you come to a prayer meeting? So the people can see that I came? Why do you come to an altar? So the people can think you're spiritual? Again, Jesus says reward is coming. You can get your reward from men, or you can wait, and the reward is coming from your Heavenly Father. He goes in verse number 16. Look at that one. When you fast, again, not if you fast, but when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Would you turn to someone and give them a somber face, please? I started to say, just give them the same face that you've been giving me for the last time. Again, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces. Oh, you don't look well today. What's wrong? Oh, you're fasting. Oh, how very spiritual of you. Huh? You know, I mean, it's hard fasting, giving up a meal or two meals or three meals for a day or three meals a day for a week or three meals a day for 40 days. I've never been on one of those. I don't think I could make it. I would just fade away. You know, we want people to know we're spiritual. We're worrying about pleasing. We're worrying about being honored. We're more concerned to put on a show quite often for men than we are concerned about what God has in store for us later. Okay, there are four motives, and I'm not going to actually get into the fourth one today because it's coming up a little bit later. But I'll give you all four. The first motive is to be honored by men. The second motive is to be seen by men. The third is to show men. And the fourth is out of fear of men. I'm overwhelmed at the number of people who operate out of fear. They do their spiritual acts of righteousness out of fear. Well, I better do this or somebody's going to think poor of me. Hello? Fear is not a good motivation for doing our acts of righteousness, church. Whether it be giving, whether it be praying, whether it be fasting, to give, to do, and out of fear is not a good motivation. Because again, it's self-serving, or it's serving for the sake that others would think more highly of us than what they should. We get our reward in the circumstance unless we're willing to do these things before the Lord and let Him give us the reward. You say, but I may have to wait a long time before He rewards me. Yes, but when that reward comes, when you're faithful to the Tootsie Roll Pop and you hit that chocolate, it's going to be so rewarding. Your eyes will brighten, especially if you love chocolate. How many are, anybody got to the chocolate yet? You cheated. I'm pretty sure you cheated. All right. Here's the truth that Jesus is giving. Let your acts of righteousness be for an audience of one. Only for the Lord. When you give to the needy, verse number 3, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, said it like this. He said, this is secret, noiseless giving, metaphorically expressed in this passage. Secret, noiseless giving. In other words, I'm giving to the Lord. I just put it in and I release it to the Lord. God, You watch over it from this point forward because I'm giving it to You. You know, the Lord has really corrected my heart. This is some time ago. You know, there's a lot of people that show up and want food, want help and things at the church. Not just here, but at all churches. And so they come walking in the door and they start telling you a story, and most of them are so extravagant you know that they're not true, telling you the truth. And so after a while it's kind of like, don't lie, no. And if you just give on the basis of truth, after a while you go, I'm just not going to give anymore. But then when you hear the word of the Lord that says God looks upon the needy, God blesses those that give to the needy, you then say, well, but I have to give, because it's giving to the Lord. He is watching over this. So then looking for ways to be able to give righteously, rightly. Giving to the Lord those that are hurting and are in need. It's easy, church, to get cynical. That's the fear part, okay? It's easy to only give when somebody else is watching or when there's honor involved. It's a little more difficult to just give unto the Lord. Same thing about praying. It's hard to have a daily time of prayer with the Lord because a daily time of prayer shut in your closet with the door shut, just you and the Lord, is difficult. Because sometimes it's a little dry in there. Sometimes you think, God, are you listening? But the fact is, He is listening. Every prayer time, every day, will not be camp meeting. But it will be obedience and it will be beneficial. Both now and in eternity. Because see, one of these days, we're going to step before this judge of ours, and He is going to reward those who have diligently sought Him. Those who have been faithful in His presence. And see, on that day, He will know, thank you for spending that time with me. Shut in your closet where no one else knew. Now don't run home and think you got to pray in your closet, okay? But He's talking about just you and the Lord. Yes, I pray an hour a day. That may not be enough. The Lord may be asking you for 2 hours a day. But if you're just praying an hour a day so that people can go, ooh, I've been having trouble getting 10 minutes. Huh? It's like, oh, wow. Come on. Give me a hand for everybody that's prayed 10 minutes already this morning. Come on, let's give him a hand. Just so that if they needed that, that they got their applause. One of these days, we're going to step into the presence of the Lord who said, when you pray, go into your closet and let's talk. Huh? And you will notice that he says, when you pray, don't expect that every single prayer that you pray will be answered in that moment. He doesn't promise that. He just says, when you pray, get alone between you and me. Let your acts of righteousness be for one, just for the Lord. And then the third point that I would see here is wait for the rewards of your acts of righteousness. Wait. Verse number 4, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse number 6, in praying, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Fasting, verse number 18, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now I told you right at the beginning I wasn't giving you anything that was brand new. But it's just a reminder. Don't get all tied up with this. But check your motives. Why am I giving? Why am I praying? Why am I fasting? You know, sometimes on that fasting deal, you think, you know, I could stand to lose a few pounds. I might as well call a fast, get a little spiritual cred for the agony that I'm getting ready to go through. Huh? You'll get your reward one way or the other. Either it will come from men or it'll come from the Lord. Why are you doing these acts of righteousness? Is it to be honored by men? Is it to be seen by men? Is it to show men? Is it out of fear of men? What might they think of me? Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word. The simple, pure truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that we would learn to not seek the gratification of today, but to know that the reward is coming. As surely as you have saved our souls, there's a day that we will stand in your presence. I pray that every person in here will hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now come and let me reward you and make you ruler over many. Oh, God, help us to not look for our rewards on this earth among men, but help us to look for our reward in your presence.